didn't question them being sick, but nevertheless, we didn't get enough public support. Now we, from now to after the election, we have to build up as much public support as possible. This won't be the last march and rally, regional one, and there will be others throughout our region. But as we go with this today, remember that this is a starting point. We haven't marched here in Tacoma since 2007. So we're just beginning again. And I'm real grateful for all the help and everything that people did for us. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Steve.
I want to welcome everybody. My name's Steve Happy. I'm Anishinaabe, descended from a Minnesota Chippewa tribe, and lived here all my life. I'm with the Tacoma chapter of the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, and we are going to be opening up here in a prayerful way. I'd like to ask our elder here to please open with the prayer. Keith, if you would please.
Don't video or photograph any ceremony, please.
Aki chakan kawa tuashi kuke ni chishio wa kai yaiki. In kariti yai echi ni ye akan kawa. Yuhani chikua tu sechi echi ni akan kawa kacha tatin ya aki.
Yeah. Sorry I didn't get to walk with y'all. Glad you're here. We're going to have an opening prayer in a few seconds here. Michael Long from the Portland office is going to be... Michael Onroad, excuse me, got that wrong again. Michael Onroad is coming to do with the opening. It was going to be Dorothy Ackerman, but she had surgery and couldn't make it today. And her son's here to do that instead. And then we'll get on with today's program. Thank you for drumming.
All right. Well, before I really get started here, I want to just let everybody know that I appreciate all of you being here. We haven't done this, I think last time I come up here, me and Russ Redner were here in 2005, and that's probably the biggest turnout I ever saw. But Panera kind of like went downhill a little bit. And so what I wanted to ask you guys today is, let's quit arguing with each other and let's get together. And let's get some work done. We need to get work done. Let's do it. Forget about all that. We got more important things to do. Our people, our relatives, all our people inside the prisons. Don't forget those homeless ones. All our relatives. All those ones that come and give us a good day. Don't forget that little guy that's going to make your day good if you remember to take the time to see him. So everything you do, though, you need to start from right here, from your spirit. And I think that's where most people are going wrong, because that's going to put you on the right path no matter what you do. And so I ask you today to just do what you do. You know, maybe not all of us believe the same way. Maybe we have different ceremonies, but we're still together doing the things we need to do. And that's what's important. Grandfather, we thank you for giving us the hearts and the minds to stand up for our brother Leonard. Grandfather, we really thank you that we can have our brother Chauncey here with us. He gives us that. I'm fortunate, Grandpa, that you gave Chauncey to me to have by me, close by me, where I can ask him to come to Sweats, and he can be there for me. I can be there for him. Grandpa, you always did it that way. And when we did it that way, we prayed for Leonard. We always praying hard. Grandpa, you know our prayers. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. We just ask that we can have these hearts come together like that sweetgrass that we come from the south. Those three things that we have that make love for each other. Grandfather, it's this root that we ask that each seed that's inside of us can grow. And we can have this thing turn into a great big thing together. A home, itakuyasu.
Thank you for coming in. Where is Chauncey? Where?
Probably down the street. Where? At the restaurant.
Where is Chauncey? Is that you? Oh my freaking God. You were like at the old Haymouse up in Seattle at 23rd and Jackson. Yes, Lord, that's where I remember you from, but what happened? I guess you're bigger than I am now. We'll have Chauncey speaking a little bit. I just wanted to see. I haven't seen him since he was like 8 years old, so that's good. Your dad just called. He might be calling in a little bit. Yeah, he said he was going to try to call if he can get a phone out and call today, but I don't know, so I'm trying to keep my cell phone with me so I can hear it. I'm going to have Diahop Conway come up and speak. Leonard had wanted her to come and speak because her dad dog hides. I don't know where she went. Oh, she's behind me. There you go. Be nice. She's learning to step up and speak, and I'm really glad when I hear anybody new coming up to speak and talk. That's a good thing.
My name is Diahop Conway, and I'm a member of the Puyallup tribe. I'm the oldest child of Charles Conway, also known as Dog Hides, who was also a member of AIM. I'm honored to welcome you to our land, and thank you for support, for your support. Give yourself a big hand. We did it. I'm also a member of the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, and growing up, I was always told stories of the movement and of Wounded Knee and of Leonard Peltier and his wrongful imprisonment. I grew to appreciate members of AIM at a very influential age. My father always shared stories of the importance of keeping everything alive in our heritage. And as I work at my daycare, I grow to appreciate it more every day, from our traditional songs to our stories and our language and art. And I thank those who fought for us to have these things in our daily lives. I thank you for coming and sharing your support and thinking of us, the younger generation. I will pass on your stories and practice our traditions. My father always spoke of the importance of all Indigenous peoples being able to carry on their traditions. And I thank you all for being here today.
That took a lot. Dee's kind of a private person, so that took a bit to have her come up, and I thank her for doing that. We're going to have an update on the clemency campaign from Arthur Miller from the Tacoma chapter of the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee. I have to keep getting used to the new names of who we are throughout the years. It's just for Leonard. Arthur, where did you go? Maybe he's not going to. Okay, instead we'll have the keynote speaker, Ramona Bennett, come up. The keynote speaker, Ramona Bennett, Puyallup tribal elder and activist since before me.
Did you start to call me Marilyn?
Marilyn Monroe, Ramona Bennett, somebody. I called him Mike Warren.
I told Sue, it seems really weird. The Aztec dancers have never failed to be here before. And Father Bixel is in prison right now. And there's Arthur. I got in front of you, Arthur. Some of the things I've noticed is these white people are so astounded by the force of Homeland Security. And we have been living with Homeland Security since, something like that. That's really close. We have suffered this martial law from the beginning. I'll take you back. We were not allowed to leave the reservations until World War I, when our people enlisted at statistically astounding rates to defend our mountains and defend our rivers. And before then, since then, to this day, we suffer that kind of effort to eradicate us. The governmental plan was to entirely rid themselves of the nuisance of Indians, and only the Civil War saved us from being totally wiped off our beautiful land. And so I want you to know that Leonard is a symbol. They don't want to let him loose because he is a symbol of us and our desire for freedom and our continuing fight for freedom. His trial was totally illegal, absolutely illegal. In any court that you'll ever go to, they always tell the victim's family, show no expression, show no emotion. At all of Leonard's trials, all of the families of the federal agents sat in the front row, soaking up Kleenex after Kleenex, being very emotional. No other court would have tolerated such a thing. Leonard is a symbol to us. You know, in Africa, which is supposedly the most racist nation in the world, Mandela was locked up for 28 years and came out to be president. Here in America, Leonard has been in prison, what, 31 years? 30?
Too long.
Yeah, a long, long time. Leonard has been locked up. Many moons, yes. And they can't let him out. We've had parole plan after parole plan. Jobs, homes, supervision, everything that a parole plan should require. And they tore our papers up. They wiped their asses with our parole plans. They completely dismissed us and continued incarcerating Leonard, who is, he's our friend, he's our brother, he's not just a symbol. He's a really good guy, and he was a friend of ours. And Angela, you even remember him. He's a nice man. This was a war situation. This is a war situation. Puyallup was having to set up armed camps to protect our fishermen. We were traveling to Washington, D.C. and getting beat up and being faced with these ridiculous charges. This was a war zone. There were 63 murders on the Pine Ridge Reservation that year, and not one was investigated because it was all Indians that were being murdered. And they said there were, how many federal agents were on Pine Ridge Reservation? 170 federal agents were on that reservation. What in the hell for? It was just poor people struggling for some kind of equality in what continues to be a third world nation. I mean, this is a hard reservation to live on, even today. And back then it was scary. It was even worse. The elders were getting their doors kicked in, getting their things burned, being harassed, people were being killed right and left. And Leonard was, he was a car mechanic. He had a beautiful shop, 8 bays, 4 for auto body work and 4 for mechanics. He had the contract to do the police department up Seattle's cars. I mean, he was a legitimate businessman. With, like Chief Lesha, he had everything going for him. He was loved by the Indians, he was respected by the white people. But if you were an elder and your fan belt broke, he'd just drop everything, go buy you a fan belt, fix your car. He had a flat tire, they didn't have freeways back then, but you know, he'd find a tire, find a wheel, get out there and rescue you. I mean, that's how he was, that's the kind of man he was, that's the kind of man he is. And when them elders back there, Pine Ridge, said, we're scared, we need security, you know he dropped everything. He just dropped everything, his whole business, and went back there to stand guard, to protect the elders, because that's the kind of person he is. And we were shocked, you know, when he was arrested and was charged with these murders, because we don't think of him as a murderous person. He's a gentle guy. And then we realized why they grabbed him. Because he was an urban Indian, they figured nobody from the city would miss him, nobody from the reservation would miss him. They figured that he would be quickly forgotten and they could charge him, which would satisfy everybody if some Indian got charged. And no one would know and no one would care. And what they didn't count on is how many friends he had, how many friends he had made, how many relatives he had, that too. So I'm really grateful and thankful that he isn't forgotten. He is a symbol. He is a symbol of suffering. He is a symbol of how unfair this system is to Indians and all of you that have gotten DWIs, driving while Indian, charges. You all know. You all know that the system is slanted against us. Always has been, back to 1492. It always is going to be. You know, live your lives in a good way. You know, really enjoy every moment of your miracles, because our ancestors, like Leonard, have suffered and died for our rights, you know, for these little opportunities that we have. You know, just treasure every day that you've got, because people have laid down their lives so that you could have that day. And I don't have to tell you, don't ever forget Leonard. We'll never forget Leonard, and we'll never forget how really cruel this system can be. I'm glad to see all of the coalitions that keep working together. What? Well, and the unions, and the radical women, and the Socialist Workers Party, and the church councils too. You know, we really depend on those coalitions to keep us all going, and I really appreciate everyone, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
I'm glad everybody was able to come out today. This is a new beginning for us. We need to create something that we've never did before, and that's overwhelming public support for Leonard for clemency. Last time, many of you I recognize of being a part of that struggle in the past for clemency when we tried to do it with Clinton. We were not able to get enough public support. We stressed other things, like celebrities and politicians and things like that. And we got out organized by the FBI. The FBI was so concerned about Leonard Peltier getting clemency that they held a march and rally in front of the White House, where 500 FBI agents called in sick that day and marched in front of the White House. Actually, our taxpayers' money paid for them that day, if you wonder where that stuff goes that you send in. Well, this time we're not going to sit back and think that maybe we'll get it, that maybe the president is kind-hearted or something. This time we need to mobilize and create overwhelming support. Let there be no question in this land and internationally that the people demand Leonard Peltier be free. You hear in the media and whatnot, they talk about American interests. American interest to go to war in some foreign country that most of us don't know anything about, and we don't know why we're fighting there. U.S. interests and supporting dictators and everything around the world. All these things are U.S. interests. And it was U.S. interests that put Leonard Peltier in prison. Well, the thing that we need to change in this country is that there's more to America, to this land, than just the power elites and the politicians. That the real American interest is the people and the land. And we need to make them understand that in our interest, Leonard needs to go free, and in our interest, we need to stop these things that the government does in our name, like imprison Leonard, kill people in foreign wars, lay off or get rid of the rights of public workers, and all these things that they say they do in our interest, which are not. What it comes down to is that since the beginning of this country, there have been these people that wanted land and wanted the things that they could get wealthy off those lands. Originally, they created reservations where ranchers didn't want the land or the farmers didn't want the land, and they thought it was worthless. Then minerals came about. And all of a sudden, they found out that places like Pine Ridge or the Four Corners of Navajo and Hopi country and whatnot, there was money to be made. Well, they decided that it was their American U.S. interest to go in there and steal that land in the same way that they invade foreign countries. There's no difference. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that Leonard's in prison because he stood up on the Pine Ridge Reservation against this. People have asked many times, well, what was on Pine Ridge, this reservation, this poorest place in the United States, to cause so much federal interest and so many federal agents and whatnot? Well, it was uranium. They had found uranium in the northwest corner of Pine Ridge. They knew that the traditional people would not sell that uranium to them because the traditional people refused to take money for the Black Hills. So they came up with a plan to steal it. And the way to steal it, the first thing they had to do was suppress the traditional elders. So when they started doing that, they requested AIM to come in because all of a sudden, they found that they were being harassed, being shot at, being intimidated. They were trying to wipe them out. So AIM came in, and thus Wounded Knee occurred. And then after Wounded Knee, it even got worse. All the murders that Ramona talked about, the villages that were shot up and everything, and in a 2.5 year period of time, the elders went back to AIM and said, we need protection. Could you come to Pine Ridge and protect us? Among the people that came to Pine Ridge was Northwest AIM. Most of the brothers and sisters at the encampment were Northwest AIM from here. So they came in to defend the people. So the government and the FBI knew that they had to do something to divert attention from getting that uranium, so they went in and caused a situation, an incident. What it comes down to is they use the excuse of looking for a young teenage boy who supposedly stole a pair of used cowboy boots in a teenage drunken fight. Okay, this is what we pay our FBI for. Not the 63 murders, but to chase down some native youth that supposedly stole a pair of boots. Well, that was their excuse. They took the two agents that came in were counterintelligence agents. They were SWAT team, FBI SWAT team agents. These were not run-of-the-mill FBI agents. So their superiors and those are the people that were responsible for what happened, told them to go in. They said that they were following a red pickup truck out on the blacktop that supposedly this young teenage youth was riding in. Well, any logic would say that they would stop that truck out on the blacktop. Instead, they stood behind, followed behind it onto the Jumping Bull compound where they knew that there was a AIM encampment. And then they pulled up into a defensive measure, defensive position of their cars, got out with their guns, and a firefight occurred. Well, this was just the same way that the Goon Squad and others had terrorized the Pine Ridge Reservation with drive-by shootings. Of course the people there were going to defend the elders. That was their job. That's something that everybody here would do, and probably damn near everybody in this country would do. If it meant defending your family, your elders, you would do it, and that's what they did. Who's responsible for those deaths? It's the higher-ups, the FBI officials that sent them in that manner, because they were not sent in any type of FBI procedures. As soon as the firefighting started, they didn't get in their cars and get back and call for reinforcements or anything. They wanted a situation, and the reason why they wanted it, because at the same time that was happening, a quarter of the Pine Ridge Reservation was being signed away illegally in Washington, D.C. for that uranium. And how do we know that was a setup? Because roadblocks were put up all over the area before the shootout. Before the shootout, the local hospitals were notified to expect casualties on that day. So something was going down. And it was the people that planned it that is responsible. Matter of fact, those are the people that should have been sitting in a prison cell since 1976, not Leonard. The original two members of AIM that went on trial were found not guilty by reason of self-defense. They went on trial in a middle America, all white, middle class jury that just could not buy the FBI story and found them not guilty for reason of self-defense, because they understood if they were in that situation, they would have done the same damn thing. So they found Leonard up in Canada. They lied to the Canadian government to get him back by presenting false testimony to them. The woman that they got to sign that false testimony, when she finally got away from the FBI, went to the defense and said, "Can I testify for Leonard that they forced me to make these statements?" And Leonard's defense tried to put her on, but the judge said, "If you were to believe, you'd shock the conscience of the court," and refused to let her testify. Well, of course you'd shock the conscience of the court, if the court had any conscience at all. And that's what they wanted in Leonard's trial, was no conscience. They moved it from the original judge to a judge that refused Leonard to put on a self-defense defense and ruled in every motion in favor of the prosecution. And Leonard was then convicted. Okay, after that, through the appeals, we were able to disprove every piece of evidence that they had against Leonard. For example, the ballistics report. They had a ballistics report of shell casings that supposedly proved that Leonard was down by the car. Well, when through the Freedom of Information Act, we discovered through the documents they gave us that the ballistic reports were fabricated. All the witnesses that had not died in Leonard's case, that they had forced to testify against Leonard, came forward and stated that they were pressured into testifying against Leonard. If you see the movie Incident at Ogallala, you'll see Norman Brown in there. So what it got down to was that the Leonard's defense disproved everything that they had against Leonard, except for one thing. that he was there that day. So the prosecution finally said, well, we don't know who committed the murders, but Leonard was just there that day. He aided and abetted. Well, the first two brothers that were found not guilty for reason of self-defense, then you have to consider that Leonard's been in prison for all those years for an act of aiding and abetting an act of self-defense. Even with that, we couldn't get Leonard a new trial. But the courts would come out like in 2003, a court came out and said, yes, the government fabricated evidence, intimidated witnesses, withheld evidence, but we're not going to rule in favor of you, Leonard. Another court said, yes, it's terrible, but you have to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that if this new evidence came out in a courtroom, that the jury would find you not guilty. Not might find you not guilty, but would. Well, that's impossible to prove. Even if Leonard was on the moon at that time, we can't say for sure that a jury would find him not guilty. So now we're back to clemency again. They've denied his parole. One year, he went in front of a parole board that ruled in favor of Leonard. Then the parole commission stepped in, fired the parole officer, and changed the ruling and said, you got to wait for about 20 more years. So now we have to do clemency again. And the only way we can do it is if each and every one of you find somebody else to help you. We have these petitions going around. Somewhere we're going to be handing out copies of the petitions. Take as many as you can. Sign the petition, send them in. If you belong to any type of organization, get resolutions passed. And then when we come out again, try to get your other brothers and sisters to come out for you. I know Portland's going to be having an event in November. And come this February again, we stopped rallies here in 2007 after 14 years of them in February. But this coming February, we're going to be out here in Tacoma once again demanding clemency. And we'll keep this up internationally, everywhere, until Obama realizes that he has to free Leonard. There is no choice in it. The people demand it. And they demand it now. So we need your help with the sign-up sheets to know who you are, to contact you with the petitions, the donations cans. As normal, we spent more on this rally than we ever had money for, and we have to make it up at donation here. If we get more than we pay back what we borrowed, then we can start on the clemency campaign. We're starting the next phase of the clemency campaign next week. We're not going to take a vacation, take a break, because Leonard doesn't have any vacation or break. I'm very happy to see all of you here for the well-being of all. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. I'm going to have Leonard's son, Chauncey, come up. And also, just a little side note.
But 46 years old, my dad's been in prison a long time for something he never committed, something he never did. As a kid, I never knew growing up, but it's all over. It's all over minerals, just like Arthur says. Growing up out in the, I never grew up on the reservation. I grew up out in the white man's world, And a lot of my friends out there are white and stuff, and they always ask me about my father, and they read up about him. And every one of them always tell me, if we were in that same situation, we'd do the same thing. Somebody came to our family, we'd do the same thing. Yep. It don't matter what color you are. It's enough is enough. The man's in there for aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting the killer. Come on. Now, isn't that a crock of shit? I mean, aiding and abetting? 34 years, it's not right. Where's the justice? We got a new president. He says change is nice. Well, let's have a change. Let's quit paying cowboys and Indians anymore. They're still trying to steal our goddamn minerals, our land. They're still pulling it on us. It ain't stopped. Anybody around that lives on the reservations, they know it. It still ain't stopped. Everybody has got to see this. It don't matter if you're white, black, whatever. We're all one. Look at 70% of the white people, anybody. Everybody says they got Indian in them. We all got to stick together. And maybe they do got Indian in them. Let's stick together. We're going to be stronger as a group, powerful. Out of all these years, I've seen that they're getting smaller and smaller. Everybody fighting for natives and stuff. And it ain't just them. It don't matter if they're black or whoever. I was 8 years old in that Indian camp when that happened. And I don't ever remember my dad holding anybody for the color of their skin or anything. He just wanted to help the elders and help people. You know, like he said, the police station. He worked on the police station. He never ever told me or anything. Always obeyed the law, he says. Don't, you know, believe in law and order, Chance. And that's the way it is. If we didn't have law and order, could you imagine the massive chaos we would have? Could you imagine that? I mean, so, you know, here he is. He's in prison for something he never did. And that ain't justice. And it's still going on. It's 2011, and there still ain't no justice, you know. I didn't really know what to say when I got up here, but I guess I got a mouthful, you know. You know, I remember my dad as a kid going fishing with him. You know, I've only met him a handful of times. I never knew him to be a bad person. Never. He never, ever taught me nothing like that, you know. It's just enough's enough. You know, it's 2011, and a change is supposed to be here. Let's have a change. Well, you know, I feel bad for the feds that got, but, you know, is this really justice holding a man there that they can't actually really convict? I guess they're proud. They're proud of that. They're happy with it. You know, what do you say? Will they ever let him out? No, I don't know. We hope so. You know, I hope to see my dad again free someday, you know. I remember as a little kid sitting in the sweat lodge with him. I hope I can sit in the sweat lodge with him someday again. You know, the only peyote meeting I ever went to, I went with my dad. He taught me what the little time I'd known him for 8 years when I was with him, he taught me a lot, you know. And then he didn't want me to get involved. He was worried about me. You know, look where he's at, you know. But it's just, it's a matter of all our people, we got to stick together. And I don't care what if you're a Navajo or whatever, or Pat, whatever. We're all natives, we all need to stick together. And that's the way it's supposed to be. What would your grandfather say if we were down here fighting and acting like little kids? That ain't good. They'd probably be ashamed of us acting like that. You know, and I'm just now getting back into my heritage. I was out of it for a long time, you know, but I'm into getting more involved in stuff. But like I want to say again, is you know it's 2011 and we're ready for a change. We got to all clan together and start fighting. This you know whenever they're. The other day, a couple months ago, I went to a youth thing, and I was talking to this Indian guy. He's a young guy, and he told me, this guy was only 22 years old. He told me, he goes back there, he goes in New Mexico or wherever he was from. He goes, they're back there, and they're still trying to steal our land. I said, it's 2011, and they're still going on? Yeah. He goes, they're still after our land back there. Pretty soon we won't have any land. If you ever see that big map they got that I always look at, and it says back in 1800 or whatever, we had all this land. And then it goes to a little land, then it goes to a little land. Then in the 2015, whatever it is, the Indians have no land. And that's where it's going. They're taking all our land. This wasn't our land to sell and give. The grandfathers told us this, the land wasn't ours to sell, it's for everybody, for us to live on. But greed and they took it, you know. We weren't going to tell nobody you couldn't come here and live. You know, if we were greedy, greedy people, we would have killed them all when they showed up. Threw them back on that boat, pushed them out there. Get out of here. You know, we weren't like that. We were all peaceful, you know. Not all Indians were mean. That ain't true, you know. You are? Well, you need to mellow out, brother. That won't get you nowhere. But anyways, I'm glad I could be here and I could speak for you guys, and I hope I could do a little better job for you next time. And thanks for supporting Leonard Peltier.
It's still shocking to see him as an adult. I suddenly feel a lot older than I felt a little while ago. A couple hours ago, I wasn't this old. I'm going to have Peter Bomer come up here and speak from Olympia, and he'll tell you all who he is and his other stuff. I know he's with Evergreen State College and some other things.
Thank you. Hi. I want to thank Arthur Miller and all of those who have organized this rally and worked so tirelessly and persistently for the freedom of Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier is an inspiration for his strength and integrity for over 40 years as a member of the American Indian Movement, as defender of the people and resource at the Pine Ridge Reservation, and for 35 long years as a political prisoner. He is in prison for us, for all people committed to environmental justice, to economic and social justice, and for the right to self-determination for Native peoples. We're out here for him. For Leonard Peltier's membership, leadership, and aim, he was targeted by the FBI and sent to life imprisonment in 76 in a trial marked by criminal misconduct by the judicial system. The 60s and 70s was a period of mass movements and hope that another world was possible. It was also a period of intense government repression, break-ins into houses, causing divisions among people and groups, false arrests, infiltration of progressive and revolutionary groups, attempted actual assassinations. The most intense repression was against Black, Latino, and Native activists, and groups such as AIM and the Black Panther Party. Much of the repression was organized and carried out under the FBI's counterintelligence or COINTELPRO program, which officially ended in 71, but actually has never stopped. Whites who stood up were also targeted. For example, I lived in San Diego from 70 to 75, was active in anti-war organizing of GIs and civilians and community organizing against police brutality and developers from an anti-capitalist perspective. I was targeted by the FBI and San Diego police and Nixon's Watergate team by being shot at, many arrested, false charges, imprisonment, losing my job, heavy infiltration by various police agencies and FBI and the groups I worked in. There's many issues of injustice today as there were in the 60s and 70s. We're living in a period of high unemployment. 25 million people are unemployed. 1/8 of the white population is below the official and inadequate poverty line. And the rate for Latinos, Blacks, and Native Americans is more than twice that. On many reservations such as Pine Ridge, close to 50% of the population are below the poverty line. 1/3 of the world's population are poor and undernourished, although there's plenty of food to go around. More than 2 million people in the United States are in prison. Black and American Indians are more than five times more likely to be in prison than whites. And we're supposed to believe that racism has ended. Who are you kidding? Hundreds of thousands of immigrants are deported annually from the United States or locked up in private prisons such as the Northwest Detention Center at 16th and J for the crime of crossing the border to work. Healthcare and higher education being gutted by state governments and the federal government who refuse to tax the wealthy. They have money for the military and prisons, but not for human needs. Corporations have rights, but not poor and working people. The U.S. is even involved in more wars today than it were in the 60s. Climate change and the environmental destruction are happening every day. Some Christian fundamentalists said the world would end today, May 21st. It hasn't and won't. Whatever, they're not any more crazy than those who think our society can go on as we have been with a capitalist economic system that sees human beings and the earth as things to be exploited for profits. A system based on war that is more and more dysfunctional for the great majority of people of the globe and U.S. where inequality of wealth and income is growing daily under Democrats and Republicans. A system unsustainable for Mother Earth and its people. We need to build movements that connect the issue of racism, of budget cutbacks, of mass incarceration, of climate justice, of war and militarism, of women's and immigrant rights, one that supports gay and lesbian and trans liberation, that struggles against poverty and housing foreclosures, that stops people from being displaced from their land, that's being stolen still today, that targets capitalism as the cause of all these interrelated forms of oppression. Let's fight the power and struggle in ways big and small for a different society, what I would call participatory socialism, where human needs are put at the center, where everyone has meaningful work, where there's healthy food and free education and quality medical care and housing, where cultural diversity and equality and self-determination are reality and not rhetoric, where people have the power and corporate and capitalist powers ended. It's not that complicated. We can do it. Let's take inspiration from 2011 uprisings in Tunisia, Egypt, and Wisconsin, and now Spain, where people are saying no more to unemployment. In struggling for revolutionary change and in building social movements, we must never forget our political prisoners. I am proud to say that Evergreen State College, where I teach, as a result of student organizing, selected Lena Peltier as a graduation speaker in 1993, and Mumia Abu-Jamal as a graduation speaker in 2000. Lena's health is not good. I urge you to demand this clemency and groups you know to support this righteous request, to ask friends, neighbors, fellow students, co-workers to do the same. Yesterday, President Obama granted pardons to 8 people, demand to do the same for Lena Peltier. The word solidarity is meaningless unless we make part of our daily lives and organizations supporting political prisoners and working for their freedom. Relatively well-known ones such as Lena Peltier and less well-known ones such as Lumumba Ford, a Muslim from Portland who was sentenced to 18 years in 2003 as part of the phony war on terror, who has committed no crime whatsoever. Many thousands are being targeted today for being Arab, being Muslim. Learn about Lumumba Ford's case. Check out the Jericho Movement, thejerichomovement.com, to learn about other political prisoners and their campaign for freedom and amnesty. End the incarceration of immigrants and most prisoners. Free Leonard, free Mumia, free all political prisoners. Power to the people. Thank you.
People involved in Leonard, Steve Rabideau, Tico Rabideau. And, you know, me and Sue could go on and on. Today, you know, we sweat and we do things around this culture. We might powwow, we might go to ceremonies or things like that. We also always have to remember to say a prayer for our relative, Leonard Peltier, to say a prayer for his family, you know, that doesn't get to enjoy his time and, you know, his good heart like that. And, you know, I never have a speech or anything. But what I really think, because these brothers come all the way up from down south, they brought their drum, you know, that we should have a honor song for Leonard, you know, at this time. Want to sing a song? Ask a drum group to come up and sing a song, one more song for us, for the people. The Indians up here gave him a name. They called him Gwarthy Loss. It means stick standing man. Uh-huh. When they made that song, is an old song, comes from the Lakota people. And when they made that song, Leonard Crowdog put that words in there, his name, Gwarthy Loss. So when they sing it like that. Hey, oh, Gwarthy Loss. Hey, oh, Gwarthy Loss. Hey, oh, Gwarthy Loss. Hey, hi, hi, oh, hey, oh, hey. Like that. And then we sing that. We used to go all over the place. talking to my cousin. He traveled with these guys. He lives out in the Elm. His name's Sonny Eagle Speaker. He told me that when they traveled, they had this drum. It was the only weapon that they had was this drum. And they traveled with this drum and they sang. And even though when they were over there somewhere protesting, they were singing on the drum and the cops were beating them down and taking them one by one. But they were still couldn't stop them from singing on the drum. They couldn't stop them from singing the AIM song. They couldn't stop them from singing for the people to make an awareness in us, in our hearts, in our minds. You know, they did that. And it was powerful for our people. Today, you know, we have Indian Health Service. That's just another government institution made to, you know, mess our people up today with drugs. You know, back in the way back then it was alcohol, but today, you know, our people are on oxycodone and Oxycontin, and they're, you know, a lot of things that come from the health service. The Indian Health Service, it comes from the federal government, the Indian Health Service. You know, they're here to take care of us. Are they really taking care of us today? You know, our people have diabetes. Our people have cancer. We have a high heart disease rate in this country. You know, today they're even having the longest walk, number 3. They're walking to make awareness for diabetes in Indian country because so many of our people are affected by it. Even me, I never thought I'd get diabetes. I thought I ate good, but I still ended up getting it anyway. You know, bummer. But, you know, life goes on. But still, even though we get these sicknesses, because we're not used to American food, I guess. You know, we're not eating buffalo no more. We're not eating salmon and fish and seafood every day, all day. And things that were good for our people way back in 150 years ago, 200 years ago. We don't do that anymore today. You know, just once in a while. So today, you know, I just wanted to thank all the people for coming in support of Leonard Peltier. In support of this way of life. And in support of Jeremy Miller and Arthur Miller, sorry, and the Leonard Peltier Defense Group. You know, my father and Steve Robert, who started that way back. As I was a little guy growing up, well, I was at all the trials over in Milwaukee. And you know, I was always a little kid at a trial, growing up at a trial, in a trial, watching my parents get beat down, and my uncles and my cousins. You know, I'm kind of lucky because I was little, so I didn't get beat down. But I got to grow up with it and experience that, and I always remember it in my life. And you know, try to bring my kids up in a good way so that they'll know about Leonard. So they'll know about their grandfather and all their uncles and stuff, you know, like that. So today I just wanted to say thank you and free Leonard Peltier. Woo-hoo!
One last thing. Could all the clipboards please come up front? And also, if anybody has their car down here, there are a lot of people that left their car way back there, and they probably don't want to do that march a second time in one day. So if anybody can give rides to people back to Portland Park, could you raise your hand? Okay. People that need rides.
Oh, the guy from Jericho left. Okay. Well, thanks again for coming, and thanks again for remembering everybody. And then talk to you later. Wait. Thank you again. Then have fun in the rain. And hopefully those that got cars at this end can take some of the people who don't have cars at this end back down. Keith, can you come up and do a closing prayer for us? We're going to have Keith from Alaska come up and do a closing prayer right now before we all separate.
Akisha kan kawa tuwasi kuwa na chishiwa kai yayaki in samasiya ji adusa jayaji ni yayaki adusa adasa gut denuiki akan kawa in kinesi. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here. We ask that as those travel back home, that you be with them, that they be safe. We ask that you be with Leonard's relatives and his son that's here and all those that work. We give you the praise, Lord, and honor, all my relations. Aho.
Thank you. Keith always makes it to a lot of our rallies. He'd been up in Alaska and had to come down on family emergencies and just happened to be here again.